you have your Bibles, open them to Jonah. Jonah chapter 1. Verses 1 through 9. Would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And the Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. Then the sailors became afraid, and every man cried to his God, and they threw the cargo which was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship, lay down, and fallen sound asleep. So the captain approached him and said, "How is it that you are sleeping? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish." And each man said to his mate, "Come, let us cast lots so we may learn on whose account this calamity has struck us." So they cast lots, and the lots fell on Jonah. They said to him, "Tell us now, on whose account has this calamity struck us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the seas and the dry land." Thus is the reading and hearing of God's word. You may be seated. Jonah's fleeing from God and disobeying the clearly revealed will of God teaches us many things about sin. We've mentioned four to this point. First of all, sin is disobeying the revealed will of God. Secondly, we learned last week that sin is easy. Sin is easy. And it almost seems like God is making the way easier for Jonah as he intends in his heart to flee from God, goes to Joppa for that very purpose, and lo and behold, when he gets there, what does he find? He finds a ship, and where is it? Fixing to sail. It's fixing to sail to Tarshish. Joe Moorcraft gives this wise counsel: "Beware of trying to read God's providence in a way that contradicts His explicit commands." Thirdly, sin is costly. Jonah paid the fare. Sin is going to cost you something. And fourthly, sin dulls our spiritual senses. Now tonight we come to the fifth thing that we learn about sin, and that is that sin brings the discipline of God. Sin brings the discipline of God. Jonah is in disobedience and rebellion against God, and God will not have it. And so in verse 4 we read, "The Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up." Now the word in verse 4 that is key is the word hurled. The word hurl means to throw something. When I was a kid growing up, we used to call a baseball pitcher a hurler. Why? Because he took a ball and he threw it as hard as he could at a particular object, in this case, a catcher's mitt. His intention was to hit the object he was aiming at. And God hurls a great storm at this ship because in the hull of that ship is his rebellious prophets. And God's purpose in sending that great storm was the discipline of his servants. The writer of Hebrews talks about the discipline of God. And he reminds us that God disciplines us because he loves us. He does not want us to remain in rebellion against us. And because he is a loving, wise Heavenly Father, he applies exactly the right discipline for our situation. And here, he is disciplining his servant by sending this storm. Now, you need to know that if you are in sin and rebellion against God, that God is eventually going to discipline that sin. And God may discipline that sin by bringing a storm of some sort into your life. And if that storm comes, there is a proper way to respond to it, a proper way to respond to discipline, a way to respond to discipline that will bring forth what the writer of Hebrews calls the fruits of righteousness. Because that's what God is after in his discipline. That we should turn away from our sin and turn toward doing those things that God tells us to do in his word, thus producing the fruit of righteousness. Now, does that mean that every storm in our life is the result of our sin and comes because God is disciplining us? Well, no, it isn't. You remember that one time there was a storm in the Sea of Galilee, and the disciples become very afraid of the storm. And Jesus is sleeping in the boat, and they wake him up. Lord, don't you care that we're perishing? And what does he say? Oh, men of little faith. What was the purpose of the storm? Well, the purpose of that storm was the testing of their faith. And what did Jesus teach them? He taught them that their anxiety, that their fear, was the result of their little faith in him. But here, the storm very clearly is an instrument of God's discipline. Sin brings the discipline of God. Another thing we learn is that sin will impact the lives of others. Sin will impact the lives of others. God hurled the storm at the ship because of Jonah. His purpose was to discipline his rebellious servant. But there were sailors on that ship, and the storm impacted them. They were afraid. Now, these are seasoned sailors. And because they are afraid of this storm, we learn something of the magnitude of this storm. It is referred to a couple of times in our passage as a great storm. And so Jonah's sin was having an impact on the lives of the sailors. Sometimes we think, and this is what our culture teaches us, that we can sin and our sin will not affect anyone else. And if our sin doesn't affect anyone else, that's okay. Well, it's never okay to sin against God, but let me assure you that your sin, whatever that sin might be, will always have an impact on someone else, even the sin that you do in secret. Your sin will impact the lives of others. And it will impact them in a negative way. Tiger Woods was sinning in secret. that he apparently sinned a lot in secret. Do you think his sin, even before it was exposed, did not have an impact on his wife and children? If Tiger was spending time with those other women, who was he not spending time with? He was not spending time with his wife. He was not spending time with his children. He was not loving his wife. He was not bringing his children up and taking the responsibility of raising them. Sin impacts others. Also, sin results in spiritual indifference. Sin results in spiritual indifference. Notice that when the storm comes up, that Jonah, this prophet of God, this man of God, is sleepy. Now, I don't know if you notice the irony, but the irony here is this. Those pagan sailors were doing what Jonah should have been doing. What were they doing? They were praying. But what was God's prophet doing? He was sleeping. He was spiritually indifferent. And that's what happens when we sin. A person who is intent on disobeying God and intent upon rebellion is a person who will eventually quit praying. Perhaps Jonah knew from the scripture that if we regard sin in our hearts, what does it say? The Lord will not hear us. What's the use in praying when you're in sin and rebellion, unless it's going to be a prayer of repentance? But Jonah didn't pray. People who are in sin and pursue a course of sin eventually become indifferent to spiritual things. God's given us means of grace by which we are to grow. Prayer, the reading of Scripture, the sacraments, worship. And isn't it true that when people are in sin, they quit praying, they quit reading the Scripture, they quit going to church, they quit taking the sacraments, they just quit. They become spiritually indifferent. And that is what happened to Jonah. You need to know that when we, even for the shortest periods of time, give ourselves over to sin or to the exposure of sin, it will develop within us, eventually, a spiritual indifference. A spiritual indifference that will be dangerous and deadly. Also notice that sin produces an indifference to the plight of others. The sailors were afraid that they were going to perish. Jonah didn't care. He didn't care. He was indifferent to the plight of others. Why is that? Well, it's because of his sin. In his sin, who was Jonah concerned about? Jonah was concerned about pleasing Jonah. Jonah wasn't worried about anyone else. Jonah wasn't worried about the effect that his sin would have upon anyone else. Jonah was indifferent to spiritual realities. Jonah is indifferent to the plight of others. Now, one of the other ironic things we need to take note of in this passage, and I didn't read beyond verse 9, is that the sailors, when they find out that Jonah is the one that this storm was directed at, because he was being disciplined by God, And that, in order for this storm to cease, they need to get rid of not only their cargo, they need to get rid of Jonah. These sailors try to row as fast as they can toward land. In other words, they don't want to throw Jonah overboard. They do not desire his death. And in an act of mercy, they're trying to get to land. And it's ironic for this reason, because Jonah didn't go to Nineveh because he has no mercy on the Ninevites, who he is to take the word of God to, and he has no mercy upon these sailors either. He doesn't care about that. That's what sin does. It not only makes us spiritually indifferent, it makes us indifferent to the needs, to the plight of others. Also, notice that sin makes Jonah's testimony a lie. Sin makes Jonah's testimony a lie. When they cast lots and they find out that Jonah is the guilty party, they said to him, verse 8, "Tell us now, on whose account has this calamity struck us? What is your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" And this is his reply: "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Now, it is true that he is a Hebrew. But at this point in Jonah's experience, the second part of that confession is a lie. Jonah does not fear God. If Jonah feared God, truly feared God, he would have obeyed God. The writer of Proverbs 3:7 says, "Fear the Lord and flee, or turn away from evil." A person who fears the Lord does just that. They turn away from evil. Had Jonah done that? Absolutely not. He was still pursuing a course of rebellion against God, thus showing that he did not fear God. People who are in sin and in rebellion against God in the church come and sing about the Lord Jesus Christ. They come and confess that Jesus is Lord. They confess that, but with their lives, they're telling a lie. And in singing that and in confessing that, they're not telling the truth, because their lives demonstrate that they are not living for the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is not the one that they are serving. Instead, they are serving self. And that's what happens when a person pursues sin. There is a final thing that I will point out to you tonight, and that is this: that the way of sin is down. The way of sin is down. Jonah went down into the ship. Jonah went down into the sea. Jonah went down into the belly of the great fish. The way of sin is always down. When it comes to sanctification, to our growth in grace, there are only two directions you can go in. You're either going up or you're going down. There's no standing still. You're either going in one direction or you're going in the other. And if you are pursuing a course of rebellion against God, if you are sinning against God, you are pursuing a course that is downward spiritually. You are backsliding. And that, of course, is not pleasing to God. And God will bring discipline upon you. Now, there's one last thing. I'm finished with the things about sin. But there's one last point I want to make, and that is this. When Jonah was in the ship, he was asleep. He's out cold. He was sleeping like a baby. The ship is bobbing up and down. The sailors are afraid the ship's going to break up. Jonah is in the ship, and he is sound asleep. No anxiety. Jonah is at peace. Here's the lesson. We need to beware of justifying our behavior because of some inner feeling. We need to beware of trying to justify our behavior because of some inner feeling that we have. There are two things when I'm counseling people that I do not want to hear. One is, well, the Lord said to me. Because 9 times out of 10, if that was the Lord speaking, He's contradicting other things He said in the Scripture. That was not the Lord speaking, but that's what people say. And the other thing is, well, I have a peace about it. Jonah had a peace. He was asleep in the ship. His conscience wasn't, at this point, troubling him in the least. But did that make Jonah's behavior right? Absolutely not. Just as there is pleasure in sin for a moment, people can be at peace, at least for a period of time, even in the midst of their sin. But that does not mean that God is pleased with them. God will disturb and disrupt that peace if they persist in that sin. And that's what God was going to do for His servant. Not only by the storm, but also by the fish. Let's pray. Father, these are not deep theological truths that we have considered tonight. But these are very practical matters about the results of sin. Father, we pray that we might remember these things from the life of Jonah so that we do not take the same course of action that he did in his rebellion against you. Father, we know that sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. We know that sin is not pleasing in your sight and deserves your wrath and displeasure. And Father, we know that if we truly belong to you, that you will not let us remain in sin, but you will discipline us in order to turn us away from our sin so that we would pursue righteousness. Father God, we pray that we would take to heart these things we learned from your word, and that instead of fleeing from you and instead of rebelling against you, that we would flee to you and that we would obey you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.